I'd like to talk a little bit about having faith in God with the idea on stressing the idea of faith in God, making sure that it is in God. I'm thinking of a story Brother Sammons told about a woman that good Christian woman that spent her life doing works, deeds. She done a lot of things for people, helping people. And that's really a good thing. It's a good Christian character to help people. That's what we should do. But she spent her time. The idea was is that any time that she had any needs or anything, that she just expressed them by going and helping somebody. That was her spirituality. And as happens and always will, there come a time that she couldn't do it anymore. Brother Salmon said she nearly fell to pieces. She had always counted on her ability to help someone to allow her to feel the way she needed to feel. She felt like she was doing something for the Lord, and it was her spirituality, and her faith then was in an exterior of God. It wasn't in God. Her faith was actually in the activity she had for God. And it became a very devastating thing to her in her life. She may have recovered, but she found it almost impossible to go on when she got down to she couldn't do what normally worked for her. And I want us to be better than that. I want us to help people. I want us to do what we're supposed to do. But I don't want us to get sidetracked into the idea that that's what our spirituality is, or that's what's going to do it, because it's not. I think about it quite often, because I happen to travel around in the ministry, and I love what I do. I'm glad the Lord gave it to me to do. It isn't always my comfort zone to do it, but it's what the Lord gave me to do. And I have actually made mention of it before, that I feel like I need to go preach. I'm feeling a certain way, and when I go and I get fired up in the Word and I get to preach, it just gives me a little bit of boost. But you know, one of these days my legs are not going to straighten out, and I'm not going to be able to get up and go preach, and then what am I going to have? And I think about it quite a bit, if I'm putting my confidence into that, or I'm getting something from that. And I feel like anytime we're close to the Lord and doing what the Lord's going to do, it's natural that we would feel enthused about it. And it's what happens. But I'm also thinking about something that Brother Clifford Wilson said in a message one time. He said there was a minister one time, and he was preaching. He preached and he preached, and they come and ask him how he was doing, and he was down on his deathbed and he couldn't get up and preach anymore. And he asked him how he was doing, and the preacher said, "I've got so many messages to preach, but I can't preach. I can't get up and go anymore." And Brother Clifford Wilson was using the scripture there in Corinthians, and he said, all these things will fail. Preaching's going to fail. Works are going to fail. Helps are going to fail. Everything's going to fail, but there's one thing that won't fail. Love never fails. So I want to encourage us today to make sure that our perspective's right, that our faith, that we begin to work a better work of faith in God, not in the peripherals, or what God does, or what we can do for God, but in God Himself, because He never fails. God won't fail us in any place or any time. We can count on that God will be there for us. When we do that, that's what we need to do. I mentioned to Sister Billie Jean before service something like this. God isn't going to fail us. So we need to make sure that we're learning. While the day's not an evil day, while we got time, that we're learning how to find God for the answer of our problems. Because when we start substituting something in there, what happens the day comes that we need to find the Lord? We're not exercised in it. We're not exercised in then how to go to the Lord and find the Lord. And know the Lord's with us in those places, because I'm always putting something else. Well, actually, what we were talking about, I was telling her, I substitute when too much is on my mind. I substitute it by hard work. I like to go out and get wood. I like to go out and if I'm feeling poor physically and I'm feeling poor mentally, too much is on my mind, I use that as a way of going and getting that off of my mind. Been getting a relief. Well, guess what? The day's coming for me. I can't work like that anymore. So what am I going to do when there's too much there and too much pressure and I can't do it that way anymore? And I'm not exercised in the way that I should. You know, Jesus is the answer to your problem. I'm telling you, Jesus is the answer to the problem. We don't need no substitute of nicotine. We don't need no nicotine. We don't need no drugs. We don't need any substance. Jesus is the answer. And we can find that answer in the Lord. And Lord, help us to begin to exercise ourselves to that end. I want to look at a scripture. I think it was October 5th. It was Lydia's birthday. It was the subject in one of the Field and Stream daily devotion that used 1 Kings 17. 1 Kings 17. Oh, thank you, Brother Mansell. That's a good one. The Field and Stream is a hunting magazine. Streams in the Desert. Thank you, Brother Mansell. Daily Devotion. 1 Kings 17. That'll be one to remember. 1 Kings 17. And this is the story of Elijah. And Elijah has made it to the brook. And in the sixth verse, it says, "And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook." There is a famine and a great drought in the land, and the Lord has led Elijah to a place to be taken care of. This was the hand of God. It brought Elijah to the brook, and now he's at the brook and drinking. Eating, everything's going well, and I want to again encourage us to have our faith in God. Because what happens, people get their faith in what God's doing, or what He can do. But God's wiser than we are. It says here in the seventh verse, "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Do you know your brook's going to dry up too? And what many times as Christians we will say, I've heard this many times, people in their faith say, if you allow me to use the analogy for what they say, "My brook's not going to dry up because I live for the Lord." I've heard those things. It can't happen because I live for the Lord. But it can happen. My father-in-law, my first wife, went through a very, very hard time. He was a religious man. Very religious, very, very religious man. And one that always talked about faith. Well, I had many discussions with him, both discussions and debates. And I believe I'm accurate to say somewhere in the fall, winter of 98, his only sister died. July 20th of 99, his daughter died, my wife. In September of that year, his wife died. Within the course of a year, he lost three prominent members of his immediate family. His sister, his daughter, and his wife. And at the end of that, he told me, he's gone now, but he told me at the end of that, he said, Marty, I used to be a man that had faith in God. But I have no faith in God anymore. It stunned me. It stunned me. Because God didn't fail anything. I know the human reaction. But God didn't fail anything. And if we get the idea that this can't happen if you have faith in God. This can't happen if you live for God. We're going to harm our faith. We're going to have a faith that's not going to work. Our faith can't be in the circumstances. It can't be in the results of things. Our faith is to be in the God, the great God of heaven that knows everything. If it's in the circumstance, you'll have a faith like the disciples that come to the Lord and said, Lord, do you not care that we perish? The ship's going to sink. Because the circumstance is the sea's rough and the wind's blowing and the water's coming in on the ship. And the only thing I can see is the circumstance. Jesus said, oh, ye have little faith. Have you been with me so long that you can't know that I rule all of this? You're looking, your eyes are beholding circumstances and things. And anyway, I'm sitting there and my father-in-law says, I don't have any faith anymore. I don't have no faith in God. I told him, I have more faith. It was the hardest thing. It was the most difficult thing. But at the end of it, I had more faith in God than what I had started with. And you know why? I had put my faith in God. My faith wasn't in the fact that He healed her. My faith wasn't in the fact that my wife be healed, my mother-in-law be healed. My faith wasn't in that. My faith was in God. And you know, I saw God work through every bit of that. I saw God do wonderful, wonderful things through all of that. Elijah could have said, there's no way this brook can dry up because God sent me here and there's no way that but you know what happens? 7th verse, it says, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. We can't put our faith in the things that we feel like the Lord's doing. I honestly look at where I live sometimes. I mowed all the yard yesterday. I thought it looked so pretty. The morning glories had grown up the trellises and around the front door. Leah had decorated. It looked so pretty with the flowers and the pumpkins and everything in the front door. And it was all groomed and it was all that. And I had this sense of, Lord's blessed me so much. Right? Brother Mansell, your bus can't burn if you live for the Lord, can it? It sure can. It sure can. That thing burned just like any bus did, didn't it? I mean, I looked in. Do you know if I have faith in what the Lord... Well, God, I know the Lord gave me that. I know that. But my faith isn't in the fact that I always have to have that. Or that God's not right if I don't. Or that there's any other problem in that. No, the fact of it is your brook dries up sometimes. And the Lord has something else in mind for your life. And sometimes where you wouldn't leave it because it's still running. Elijah may have said, I ain't going nowhere as long as the raven feeds and the brook runs. And so the Lord dries the brook up. Why? I got something else. You know what the Lord had in mind? There's a widow woman that needs a prophet to come by. Or there's another battle to fight somewhere. Or there's something that the prophet needs to go do. There's a need that the Lord has done, and so the brook dries up. And then we can't have our faith on just the circumstances. There was another incident in the Bible, if you remember, there was a man that laid 30-some years. Because every year, the angel would come one time a year and touch the pool, and whoever was the first one in when the water was troubled, I don't understand these, I'm just telling you what the scripture said, would be in there, they would be healed. So the man's waiting the opportunity to be put in it when the water is disturbed. Jesus comes along and says to him, What you doing? Been here all this time. Well, what? I have nobody to help me get in. I can't be there. Do you know, we can waste all of our life waiting on the circumstances to hit just right. This man's faith was in the fact that the water was, and he's seen it happen over and over and over again. People put their trust and confidences in anything. I wouldn't do it. I think it'd be sacrilegious of me, but there's people that pray to win the lottery. I think I've seen somewhere that it was 726 million dollars. Man, that number's starting to get big. That's 750 million dollars. I mean, you could do it. There's people that pray that the Lord will help them. I know they do. They pray that the Lord would help them to win that money. I hope they have faith in God and not in their money. Well, I can do so. I can be so much, Lord. I promise so much, whatever. But you know what? It'd be corrupting to you. Listen, take it from me. Don't need it. But the Lord wants us to have faith in Him. So Jesus says to this man, Well, I can't get in there. Oh, but you can have faith in one that don't have to wait for the years up. He don't have to do that. You wait for the time of the birth. We need to have faith in God, not in the circumstances, not even in God's circumstances. We'll get completely confused and we'll be out of sorts when we do. We need to have our faith in God. That He is not only able to do anything we need, but He's wise enough to know exactly what we need to do. So not get your faith sidetracked. Another scripture. Oh, let's see. Acts 28, I think I want to look at. Paul was, I believe, in this place, is sailing to Rome. Remember the story? And the angel come and warn him. Listen, if the Lord want to take Paul to Rome, I mean, this is the way we normally think. But the Lord was so for Paul, well, that the doors ought to have swung open before he even got to the building. I mean, you think that if the Lord's in this, if the Lord wants you to go somewhere, there won't be no roadblocks. You can't run out of gas if the Lord's in this. That car's going to run perfectly if the Lord's in this. I've heard it. I'm telling you, I've heard it. That this is going to be no briars, no thorns, nothing's going to be in my path because the Lord's in it. You've got to just step aside. But that really isn't it. And if you think it is, you can end up being a shipwrecked victim of faith with your faith gone. Because you had an idea that you know what the Lord's going to do and how He does it. So Paul's going to Rome as a man of God to represent the gospel. And he had to go by way of shipwreck? I'm going to take you to Rome, but I'm going to shipwreck you first. The ship, you know, God can make a ship float. That whole scenario. Well, you know what the story was? That Paul ended up in the shipwreck. I believe this is where he ends up floating on some boards. He's out there. And I know in our mind sometimes we can say, maybe I missed it. It wasn't Rome. Maybe I was supposed to go to Macedonia. I missed what the Lord... No, the Lord said it right. You go to Rome. But it ain't all smooth sailing at all. Faith in God. I have faith in God. Not if a shipwreck happens or not if something else happens, but have faith in God. That God can do what He wants us to do it, and He can fulfill it any way He wants. There was a reason for this. There's men there. There's people at Rome that need the gospel, but there's soldiers, there's men, there's people right here. God's going to witness by Paul going there. You know, it must have been pretty impressive to these guys to say, that guy predicted that. Paul predicted exactly what was going to happen to us and how we all could be saved, and we were all saved, and that must have been God. No doubt there would have been. Well, wasn't there another time that the jailer got saved after Paul took a whooping? Paul got, to get that jailer saved, he was going to have to be whipped. But I think he said, most gladly, I rejoice that I was counted worthy to suffer for Christ. But, well, I don't know if that was the incident, but that was the idea, that was the attitude that he had. But if we'll start saying, you can't be thrown in prison because the Lord's with you. Oh, can't you? You can be. Our faith is to be in God and what He's doing and not the circumstances around us. You know, strange things can happen. I told this at the prayer meeting, maybe I told it here. Over in Webster County a couple years ago, this guy named Bob Wisner. I knew him well. He lived in our community over there. My dad knew him real well, done a lot with him. He was a coal miner. Another younger man was with him. They was coming 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the morning. They're coming back from work. Coming along kind of a deserted area of Webster County, Route 20. Coming back from Upshur County. Another car was following him with miners. There was two guys, I believe it was in a truck. I'm not sure. Coming along. Normal speed, 55 miles an hour or so. Hadn't been no storms. Nothing like that. Was driving along, 55 miles an hour, and a big oak tree falls off of the bank and fell right down through the cab. As they were coming like that, it fell right down through the cab. The first responder, the EMT that I grew up with, told me in a hushed tone, he didn't want everybody to hear it, said that when the limb of that tree broke through that cab, it splintered and went right down through that guy. They both were killed instantly right there in it, in that happening. And that messed with the Webster County psyche. If everybody that knew them and knew about it, that, and this is why. People die in wrecks all the time, but this is why. It was just too perfectly timed. In an isolated section, almost no cars coming by. If my math is anywhere right, at 55 miles an hour means that you're going 80 feet a second. About 80, between 80 and 81 feet per second. Which means in a quarter of a second, my van would have passed through any given point. My van's about 20 feet long. In a quarter of a second, I would travel through any point. In a quarter of a second. Completely through. And a 2-foot section of the front seats of a vehicle would mean a 40th of a second to pass by it. A 40th of a second. That hit so dead through there that it messed with everybody. And it might mess with us too. I'm only saying this to say many people were really, really bothered by that, that that could happen, that it did happen. And I know what I think. Have faith in God. I don't even know how to answer or say anything about it. I don't need to when I think of it this way. Have faith in God. I don't know why God does what He does, but I know this. I can have faith in Him. I can know that the Lord's way is above my way. I don't know why He chose to take somebody that way and get such a thought out there with the people, but I know what one woman said that was not a religious woman. She said to me in the conversation I had for her, she said, it messed with me. She said, it messed with me. She said,
It had to be God. It had to be God. And I said, well, maybe so. But I can still have faith in God. Because we have unexplainable things happen to us in life. How can a child, how can a child, so small of a child, end up with cancer? I preach this different times, but it really bothered me when Jaden Howard, this little boy, ends up with this brain tumor. It's so unusual in his brain tumor. And the Lord helped me to say, we're living by faith and not by sight. How do you can have these unanswerable questions in your mind. And folks, if you don't have a faith in God, a faith in any other thing, and faith in the way God normally works, faith in the way things God, the way He protects, and all those things, a faith in God, you're going to have trouble in this life at some point. You're going to have a real challenge. Because the only thing that can answer the questions or answer us to have peace as we go through this life is to have faith in God. Because we'll think God's going to defend and we'll see Him do it. I have this testimony of how God, it's just amazing how God's worked for me in the past about these people that want, and maybe they cause trouble, these religious people that wants to debate on all this. And it's been amazing how many times the Lord has spared me. And me, one guy, he was a religious zealot of sorts, and he was an attacker, and a number of people had talked to him, and he ended up at a meeting where I was at, and he told me, I want to talk to you. And he was a real challenger, and I said, well, yeah, I'd be glad to talk with you. And it was so, I prayed, Lord, you have your way in this. And so finally come a time and said, well, God, I want to talk to you for a while. I want to talk to him. And sat down and got into the trivial and started talking. And every time he wanted to start something, I could see the Lord block that thing over and over. And about 45 minutes, an hour later, I said, it was good talking to you. He never could bring out his contentious points. Every time he tried, the Lord veered him off somewhere. And at the end of it, I shook his hand and said, good talking to you. And the Lord protect. The Lord can do that kind of stuff. But if I put my faith in that's what's going to happen, you know, somewhere along the line, it's not going to be that way. And the Lord's going to choose something else. And then what am I going? And then I and say, what happened? What happened? Our faith is to be in God. Not in the circumstances. Not in what's going to happen. Let's go on with Paul's story. Now he crawls out on the bank. Okay? Shipwreck. But the Lord had inspired him of what's going to happen. It says in the 28th verse, and when they escaped, then they knew that this island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul, I'll get this right now, not only was it a shipwreck, okay, and they all escaped and come out, they were, this is a backward way of saying it, but these barbarous people did show them some kindness here, a lot of kindness, and built a fire because it was cold and rainy. On top of being shipwrecked, the weather's just plain bad. They're miserable. And he kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid him on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. Do you think you can't be attacked by a viper if you look for the Lord? The Lord's going to keep us from being viper bit. Well, no. The Lord may have a purpose for viper bites. We have faith in God. In whatever happens in life, whoever God sends your way, have faith in God. Have faith in God for that situation. Have faith in God that there's a purpose, that there's a reason. Have faith in God, not in the circumstance. We start looking at the circumstance and everything going bad, we're going to wonder. But have faith in God, we'll be able to say, you know, God allowed the viper to bite Paul. Not only, it sounds like it was more than bite, it sounds like it stuck to his hand. It said last coming in. Stuck to his hand. Fasten on his hand. Stuck in there. Well, you know, God has reasons for what he's doing. Again, the Apostle Paul was going as a witness for the gospel, and God was using him as a man of God everywhere he went. And in order to show the blessings and the fullness of the gospel, it was usually mixed with trouble and shipwrecks and beatings and snakes and those kind of things. And God was always faithful. The end note is that, oh, always be faithful. Folks, the end of God is what we always have our mind, our hearts focused on, not the circumstances that life presents. If you get your heart and your eye on that, you'll end up discouraged. But the end of God is what we're wanting. Yeah, Elijah was brook dried up, but the Lord had a mill barrel that wouldn't run dry. And then God dealt with him and through things. The end of him was the success that God wanted. And it will be for us too. It says that the viper came out and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarian saw the venomous beast hanging on his hand, again, it sounds like it's stuck, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. You get it? Do you understand why they were saying that? When my wife got cancer, the big news around in the world we came from was, is that it was recompense for our evil ways and our hideous religion. That was what was told. The people that said it, almost after that time, almost all of them was touched by cancer. It wasn't that. This man's a murderer. Because you remember what they said of Job? Remember Job? Job had faith in God. But he didn't have faith in the things around him, because when the things around him left, he said, the Lord liveth. The Lord giveth. Blessed is the name of the Lord. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. My faith's in the Lord. My faith's in God. They said, because of the world around him, it's the way they looked at it. If that poison snake stuck on him, it is a proof from the gods. The gods are paying him back. He's probably a murderer or a bad person. If bad things happen to you folks, it don't mean you're a bad person. Don't mean you're not living for the Lord. Sometimes it's just the opposite. No doubt this man, murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. Now, that's logical, isn't it? That's the way we think about things sometimes. Have you ever been guilty, be honest now, have you ever been guilty of thinking that something bad happened to somebody because, yes, yeah, that something bad happened to them because, you know, we need to have faith in God. And he shook off the beast unto the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was good. Okay. Now, what happens is, he's in a shipwreck, he's a murderer. He gets out, he must be a good man. We'll build him a fire. He gets bit by a snake, he's a murderer, he's a bad man. Oh, he didn't swell hurt, he's a good man. If he had tripped over a log and fell down and broke his arm, he'd say, he's a bad man. Listen, we need to have faith in God, not looking at the circumstances to determine the things, but have faith in God. As a Christian, as somebody that believes in God, we'd be much served to keep our faith and our hearts and our minds in God. I want to tell you something. We never promote it here, or I say it's not mentioned among the Church of God. We don't promote people. But there is places that promote people. And I'll say this. Don't put your faith in no pastor. They fail people. And there's been plenty of people shipwrecked because they put their confidence in something, somebody. God has good people. But put it in somebody, or a group, or an institution, or a thing, and put it in there and become disappointed because they don't respond or react like they think they should. I got a different solution. Have faith in God. Put your faith in God and live for God and live for what God wants you to, not by looking at the circumstances, looking at the things around. We live by faith and not by sight, because we can look in sight and sight can tell us that everything's a certain way, and it's not. Our nation is going away from God, there's no doubt about it. We see a lot of things happening. There's a lot of things happening. But you know there's a God that sits on a throne? I want to say this. Joseph went down to old pagan Egypt and was blessed because he served God. He had faith in God and the troubles. Well, if I live for that, there ain't going to be no bad accusation God can defend. Yes, it will happen. God, the end of it was right with God. Daniel and the three Hebrew children were captives of the Babylonians and taken to Babylon as slaves. And God kept them right there in that old, and showed them to be a light and an example that changed people. Right there in that. So in this time that we live in, our mantra, our highest calling, have faith in God. You remember when Jesus come by looking and saw a fig tree? And he went to get figs and there was no figs. And it wasn't time that they should have been all harvested off. And so there should have been figs on the tree and there's no figs. So Jesus curses them. Now, Jesus wasn't just doing that because he don't like trees. Jesus cursed that fig tree. And then the next day, it's just a very short time, they come back by and the disciples look and the tree is completely withered and dry. Just dried up. And they said, how quickly? The tree withered. Jesus had one response. Have faith in God. Don't you hook on this circumstance right here. Have faith in God. You know what that means to me? There's things in our life sometimes that need dried up. And you can't do it yourself. And there's changes that we need to make and things that the Lord needs to help us in life. And you know he's got the power to dry that thing up. Oh, how quickly. The only answer that he had for them was, have faith in God. So I want to leave you with this little message today. Have faith in God. Don't put your faith in the other things. In the old ancient, in Israel's, in their ancient days, the Lord reproved them and commanded them not to have horses. They wasn't supposed to use horses in their battles because he did not want Israel to trust in horses. Horses was a mighty, mighty weapon of war. You had horses, you could run people over, you could maneuver fast. It was a great advantage to war. But God said to Israel, you trust in me. You get sidetracked over, in the horses. You may have horses, but you'll lose your faith that'll win the battles. Because you know what? Horses are mighty, but things can happen to horses too. Folks, have faith in God. Because, you know, the scripture says that you plant it and it comes to naught because I blew on it. When the Lord blows on something, it ain't going to prosper. Let's have faith in God. You pray for me.